Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Here are a few questions for you to kick off today's show. Are you ready? And I want an honest answer. How kind are you to yourself? When was the last time you practiced self-compassion? And what do you do with your emotions? Do you stuff them? Do you let them lead? Do you learn from them? And finally, what do you sense is your purpose in this season that you're in? What is God doing? Where is He taking you? I'd love to know your thoughts on all of those things. Licensed therapist Kim Fredrickson wrote this. She says, research shows that self-criticism is strongly linked to depression, which is linked to a lack of resilience. People who are self-critical and depressed do not rebound well from the difficulties of life. Instead, they tend to be very self-focused as they try to survive depression, anxiety, and the bully beating them up on the inside. Do you have a bully beating you up on the inside? If so, you came to the right place, because we're going to talk today about self-compassion, about befriending our emotions, and about your sensing your purpose, your divine purpose in this season. My friend, spiritual director and counselor Pamela Nelson joins me again today. We're going to get her on in just a moment. But you've been hearing about our fall fundraiser is next week. And we do this thing with called Match Gifts. And we have some regular donors who are so amazingly generous with laying down the gauntlet. But I think they too have a little competitive spirit like myself, but we would love to invite you in if you ever feel like you have the means to issue a match challenge gift. And how that works is you could say, I'm laying down a $2,000 match challenge or a $5,000 match challenge, and this is the hour I want it in. And then we as hosts need to raise that money in that hour for that money to be released. So if you have any desire to do that, you can email. And Angie, I think you're going to have to tell me, is it Carter? Is it Carter at myfaithradio.com? I think that's the address. Thank you. Carter at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Pamela Nelson is an ordained pastor, experienced biblical counselor, and spiritual director who's been supporting people on their healing journey as well as mentoring and coaching individuals for the last 30 years. 30 years. Wow. Along with her consulting counseling practice, Pamela also serves as the director of soul care for Advanced Hope Ministries. She's a soul care specialist with Align Strength-Based Leadership and is a senior spiritual director with Soul Shepherding. She has two grown sons. They're both married, and she's a proud grandma of six grandchildren. Pamela, welcome back to the show.
So good to be on with you today, Susie. I am so excited about today's topic, and thank you for kicking it off so well. I loved those questions that you started us off with. So great, great things to contemplate and to be considering as we go through this time together.
Well, you and I have known each other for years, and if I remember right, even at one of my speaking events, you were my kind of wingman, where you protected me and walked with me.
Yes.
And so I've known you for years. You've been on my intercessors team, and you have so much going on in your own right. So that you would even love and serve in the way that you have is amazing to me. But what I have to say about you that I so appreciate is you don't wing things, and we don't either. Angie, my producer, Kim, my other producer, we put our hearts into things. We pray. We never presume upon God's favor. And I just know this about you, that you are prayed up. You're prepared for this hour. And I just want to honor the gift of God in you, because you don't wing it. And that matters a lot. And it shows in the conversation. So I just want to honor that in you. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Susie. And I want you to know that there are many, many prayer warriors who are praying for us right now, and not just for us, but for the people who are listening, because we know that God wants to attend to something very unique today. And I'm just praying that the Lord will shine a light into areas that we may have even kept hidden from ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait to dig in. But first, not that this is consolation to me, this is some of the best parts of the show. What has the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Well, what I love is God's timing. And so this week I have had the opportunity to do spiritual direction with a few new people, and his word is so timely and timeless. It is always a right word in a right season. And I wanted to bring today something that many of our listeners know, Psalm 23, for seasons of their life, but I want to read it in the New Living Translations, because when we hear that sometimes in a little bit different context, it hits us in a powerful way. And I want to invite people as I read this to experience in a way that almost like the Lectio Divina, which is something that I do every morning, which is a listening opportunity for the scripture to read us. So I would love to invite our listeners and yourself, Susie, to pay attention to what is paying attention to you, even for you to say, you know, this phrase today is what I needed. And so listener, pay attention to that. What is paying attention to you? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Susie, was there something that was attending to you during this reading?
Yeah, I mean, to the point where I'm fighting tears right now, just as someone who's battling terribly with sleep again, and it really sends me into discouragement because of all the symptoms it stirs up, but just that he leads me beside still waters. He lets me rest, you know, that he cares about that. And it just, I mean, literally got holy goosebumps that the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have all that I need, you know, and then he leads me to these places of rest and replenishment that are actually peaceful places. So how about you?
Yes. Well, first of all, let me just say, Susie, that is such an answer to prayer, because as someone that has been on your intercessory prayer team for a long time, that is what we are praying for. That was the request that you sent to us just a day ago. Lord Jesus, I need sleep and I need rest. And he is the one that even when circumstances don't change, that he can bring a rest to our soul. And that also, that word rest to me and restore, you know, rest is a part of the word restore. And there, you know, are things that always happen in this changing of seasons. We are in what I would call an American New Year right now, right after Labor Day. And it feels like a lot of people that I'm meeting with are in transition, and it feels chaotic. And the word rest in the middle of restore is what I believe he wants to do today in me as we talk, in our listeners as we talk. And I know, Susie, as an answer to prayer for you, even during this time. So I love that of the Lord's word.
So good. You know, we had Peter Grieg on the show to talk a little bit about hearing the voice of God. And we've talked about the Lectio app, which is just so stellar. But for those who don't know what you're talking about with the way that you read scripture in the morning, maybe explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. So I love this practice, which is, you know, so many of us have been invited into a time where we read scripture to be, learning and to have wisdom come into us, which is so powerful, which we obviously need. We need instruction and, we need to have guidance to be able to move forward. But this practice of holy listening, of letting scripture attend to us. It has been around for many, many hundreds of years. And I do want to let you know that there is an app called Lectio 365. I know, Susie, that's a part of your morning routine. It is a part of my morning and evening routine. And it is 9 to 11 minutes of allowing several different scriptures to bathe us as we start our day, to awaken us and allow the word to come alive in us in a way that it truly is that word attending. It is what happened to you just as you heard it. You said, you know, I came to tears, that it is listening to the same scripture several times, and then paying attention to how it is attending to you. And when you do that in the morning, when you do that in the evening, believe me, it will change the trajectory of your day. When you pause in the middle of the day like this, it changes it in a holy way. So I want to invite our listeners into either this practice on their own or getting that app. It's a free app in whatever application that you have. So that Lectio 365.
And we will have that link in the show notes, friends. And we also, Kevin and I, listen every morning and every night. And what a way to bookend the day. And you really, the music is so sacred. It causes you to take some deep breaths, to exhale, and then to rest and let that scripture just wash over you. And they do it with so much reverence, which is so needed when you approach the word of God and even the presence of God. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to dig into the idea of self-compassion, of befriending emotions, and of your amazing purpose, discerning your purpose right now. What does the Lord require of you? What is he asking of you? Because we so often get exhausted when we're doing so many of the things God never asked us to do. And we're going to talk about all that with Pamela Nelson. She's a spiritual director and a therapist and counselor, and more with her in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Yeah, there's times you're in the crushing and in the pressing and you don't know where God is, and you need to know he's right there, right with you. And when you move from struggling and striving to surrendering and you dare to pray, Lord, bring new wine out of me, you surrender yourself into his care, peace will return and insight will come, and you'll just discover that he's faithful and he's faithfully leading you through. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Pamela Nelson. She's a spiritual director and a counselor. She joins us every month. And today we're talking about self-compassion, about befriending emotions, and about your purpose. And we really do need to delve in to some of these things, because these are oft-neglected areas of our life, and it's to our own great detriment. So let's start with emotions. You know, you mentioned this in the notes you sent to me, that often in the world of faith, many are taught either overtly or subtly to kind of suck it up, buck up, buttercup, that emotions are bad. And I often say you can't lead with emotions, but you can't disregard them, because they give us information. So give us a healthy perspective, if you would, on emotions.
Yes, we are created with emotions. We see all throughout the Word of God that that emotions are present. We see it in how he allowed every single character to have very strong emotions, all the way from the Psalms through how Jesus wept, Old Testament and New Testament. But Susie, I wanted to bring in an example here before I get into some scripture basis for this. I don't know if you ever remember being taught that locomotive engine. So this is kind of back in the day, dating myself, that we needed to make sure that our belief in God was with the engine, which was the fact, and then the middle car, which was faith, and then the caboose, which was feeling. Were you ever taught that when you were in Sunday school as a young girl?
No. I wasn't in Sunday school as a young girl, though, but that I love it. Keep going.
Well, and what's interesting about it, it has been around for quite a long time, but the caboose, the feeling car, was often diminished as the car that was just kind of the cute little caboose car at the end of what an engine needed, which we do need fact. We do need to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I grew up in this kind of tradition, it was really that the feeling car could be left out. The emotion car, if we're going to give it that language today, that it really wasn't necessary. And as I was looking into kind of this old teaching that I had, I went to the dictionary to find out what exactly was a caboose, what was it used for. And so everything from looking up railway things and Wikipedia and all of that, you need to know that the caboose definitely had a function. It was there to actually stave off anything that was going to be harming the engine itself, the whole train itself, if anything was off balance. That's where people stayed when they needed to have a time to rest. It was also where the different sort of engine rails were switched. It had a very, very specific purpose. But then when technology came into play, no longer were cabooses needed. And a historian was asked, why weren't they needed anymore? And he, this is so curious to me. It's just amazing. He says, there's a lot of human interaction that was very useful and necessary before cabooses were not needed. They completely were eradicated by the use of technology and lack of human interaction. So that caboose that was really representing emotions and feelings, it's interesting that no longer is that needed in the in what we would call our journey of getting from one place to another. In this analogy, it's a train. But now, because of technology, because human interaction has been wiped out, this feeling part of the train, this caboose, this emotional part, is no longer needed. And I find that that is fascinating, because that is what has happened in our world. We are living in a world of technology where no longer do we have the human interaction to be able to see face to face, Susie, the emotions that are needed to attend to what is going on in our life. And what has happened over the last couple of years of lack of human touch, lack of seeing one another, of being in the same room with one another, we have lost the ability to be compassionate with ourselves and to attend to the emotions that, to a large part, are underneath the surface. And so we need that caboose. We need those feelings. All through the Bible, it says that we are to clothe ourselves with compassion. Actually, Colossians 3:12, it says, clothe yourself with compassion. This is put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And this is not just for others, but it is for ourselves as well, Susie.
You know, when you relegate your relational interaction to digital platform only, you're really set up for isolation, for jealousy, for pride, you know, because you can present your best face, they're presenting their best face, and you either come out on top or you don't. But when you're in a room and you have regular interaction with people, let's say you're going to see them every week or every month, there's times you just can't fake it. And if you're in a safe place, that's exactly what needs to happen. And I've read different studies where, like, when you go into a room and, like you say, have a face-to-face interaction and someone lights up because they're glad to see you, that it actually stirs up the joy center, not only in their brain, but in your brain. And with babies, it's critical for brain formation that when you're lighting up going, hello, and you're so excited to see them, their brain is actually forming and you're helping their brains to trigger that and activate the joy center. And also in a group setting, when you are vulnerable and you're met with compassion, suddenly the neural pathways are formed where you're safe to be healed. And all of that gets lost when we isolate. I mean, it's really heartbreaking. You think of what we've lost, you know?
Yeah. It is heartbreaking. And I love what you said, how it creates those neural pathways. It has us stay attached and connected to one another. I think one of the hard things when we've grown up in a church that doesn't allow a lot of emotional expression, and it's all about what we do. It's all about self-sacrifice and giving to others, which is very important, but at the expense of ourselves, then we are actually depleting ourselves. We are not putting our oxygen mask, the word of God, the living, breathing word of God first. And we can't get anything out of an empty tank. And then the enemy, we are most vulnerable when we are in that place, when we are depleted. That's why we need what Psalm 23 said. We need to have our souls restored in rest. And part of doing that is showing ourselves self-compassion, not only in what we say, but also in our rhythm of life that we have.
When you've got emotions and they're stirring up and you've been taught, you know, you can't trust those emotions. So, and you can't always trust the emotions in that sometimes they're you know, it's almost like the enemy uses these triggers to bait you into reaction. So maybe that's a bad way to say it as far as not trusting them. I think they're information. So how do you mm-hmm. rightly discern this is stirring up something in me? You know, when someone's like, I can't feel this right now, so I'm stuffing it down back into the basement. Give some wisdom about, you know, how much room to give an emotion, how to manage mm-hmm. that. So they're not, you're not leading life by your emotions, but you're not also stuffing them either.
Right, right. And I am going to go back to this, this train analogy here. You know, the emotions don't lead. We have our truth that leads, which is the word of God. We have our faith in him that even with circumstances that don't change, that he is the same. But we do need to attend to what's happening beneath the surface. And so you were saying, you know, I don't want to lead with this emotion, but I do need to pay attention to it. And what I encourage people to do and myself is to say, oh, I'm experiencing fear right now. I'm experiencing anger right now. Where is this loneliness coming from? Why am I sensing a little bit of bitterness with this person? And so rather than stuffing that and putting it behind a closed door, which takes a lot more effort and energy to do, I invite you to pause and to ask yourself the question, what is this emotion telling me, about you, about what is true, and about what is a lie? So again, what is this emotion telling me, about you, about what is true, and about what is a lie? Because oftentimes there can be things that I'm saying to myself very non-compassionately, as a matter of fact, self-condemning. And if those thoughts are on repeat, then it does become a lie that we believe. And we do need to come into this place and say, this is a lie. I do love the person that you had on just a couple of days ago that was talking about that being a spider, you know, kill the spider and come into that lie and kill it, because I need to replace that. I need to bring it before the cross of Christ and replace that with the truth. But I can't replace it if I haven't named it, if I haven't identified it. So you can say, hello, anger. I feel you coming up. What are you trying to tell me right now? And Lord, what do you want to tell me about this right now? And go from there. It's very powerful.
Yeah. So instead of judging, instead of stuffing, you're asking, asking questions about why is this stirring up? Because it is for some reason. And when we do that, we find a compassionate Savior who the Spirit of God leads us into all truth. And I think if we could develop that practice, Pamela, we'd actually develop the practice of walking free, because it's not a once and done thing. You know, my another author friend said, life has a way of lifing you. And so you think you may have sorted through something from childhood, but then you can be blindsided by something else that triggers something that isn't fully dealt with that you thought was. So I think to be, instead of being suspicious or afraid, to dare to be humbly curious seems to be a good answer. You know,
I love that, humbly curious. That's that exactly is what we need to be. I don't know if before the break or now. I actually have a something that just happened yesterday that all of a sudden a memory came up, and when those triggers come, you can't stop it. And so either right now or after the break, we will get curious about that.
I love that. You're a pro, Pamela. Thank you. We're on a hard break. So when we come back, I want to hear your story. And what do you, we're going to talk about to that person who maybe says, you know, self-compassion, what's that? I don't have time for needs. I'm meeting everybody else's needs. We're going to talk with you as well, talking to spiritual director and counselor Pamela Nelson about self-compassion, befriending our emotions, and your purpose in this particular season. We'll be back in a minute.
Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You this world. Oh, give me Jesus.
That's just one of my favorite songs. Love it so much. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Pamela Nelson. She's a spiritual director and counselor and a friend of mine. She joins us every month to help us heal, to help us walk into greater measures of freedom and wholeness and redemption and restoration. That is God's heart. Today, we're talking about self-compassion, befriending our emotions, and discerning our purpose in this particular season. And Pamela, you're about to tell a story about just a time when something stirred up in you and what happened.
Okay, absolutely. Well, I know this has been a little bit heavier of a talk, especially when we're talking about emotion. So I was surprised by this, and this has come from a lighthearted story a bit. I just had a birthday here not long ago, and a friend of mine took me out to celebrate that. And I have actually never had a manicure. Yes, I'm confessing it, 57 years old. The last one who did my nails was my granddaughter, Finley. She did a wonderful job, but she was seven. And so we are in this lovely place here in Montana, a brand new spot, and it's beautiful. I have my lemon water. Everything is sparkling. I choose the color, and I'm dipping my fingers in the, what I would just say looks like dishwater, but it's not, but they're getting kind of moistened up, and we're talking, and all of a sudden I look over Susie, and the manicurist I know wants to attend to some cuticle work, but I wasn't prepared for what I saw. There was this clamp-like device that looked like it was going to, you know, take out a tooth, but it was actually going after my cuticles. And, you know, here I am, you know, I'm a counselor, I'm trained, you know, I can recognize triggers, but I looked over and it was a nanosecond. And what I remembered was something from when I was probably seven, and a beloved pet was having her nails trimmed. And unfortunately, the person that did it got a little too close. And this instantly went into my brain as I am sitting there in this beautiful spot with my fingers vulnerable to this very sharp device and a woman across from me. And I wanted to lose my lunch. I actually lost. I started to get kind of numb in my face and my legs wanted to go. And immediately, I mean, that is how fast these things can come into play. So I'm using this as a lighthearted example, but I know that some of us have these sorts of things that they are out of our control that pop into our minds. And I mean, Susie, this was 50 years ago. I had no idea that it was there. And so I'm sitting there in kind of this vulnerable space, wanting to stay present, wanting to enjoy something that was a gift to me with my friend. And so in my mind, I had to ask myself the question, what is true right now? This emotion is not true. I am safe. This is a lie that what is going to happen in my vision that happened from 50 years ago is not going to happen to me. I want to stay enjoying in this place. And so, Lord, would you calm my anxious heart? He invited me to cast my cares on him, Susie. And this all happened very, very quickly. I don't even know that my friend, who's also a counselor with me in my office, even fully knew what was happening. But I could have moved into self-condemnation at that point. I could have said to myself, you know, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. I can't believe you're feeling that. How could that, you know, that picture instantly move into your mind in such a joyous place? And we do that. We blame ourselves when something has happened in our life that wasn't at all our fault. It was done to us, or something happens like a car accident that we've experienced, and all of a sudden something triggers that memory. There is no stopping it. But what we do with it at that point is how God wants to heal us. So if we move into that place of blaming ourselves, of calling ourselves any name that we would never call anyone else, that we don't move in with kindness. I could have gotten up and ran out of the room. That's how I felt in my stomach, and that's what I wanted to do. But I want to encourage your listeners that if you have those experiences in your life, that the word of God, that his tenderness, his compassion, his love is what comes in and replaces that fear. So what I said is what is true for me right now, and this is just in my head and very quickly, is that his perfect love casts out fear. I let that perfect love, which is really his liquid love, wash all over my body, so that then again, I could regain my strength, come back to the experience that I had, and be able to enjoy that. And you know, friend, your experience may not be that quick. As a matter of fact, I guarantee that often it is not, because those things that well up within us do surprise us, but they don't surprise God. The enemy wants to take advantage of it, and he wants to have those old shame messages recircle in our head. But the Lord will replace that with the truth that his love washes over all of that. And when I am clothed in compassion and kindness and declare over my soul the truth of God, which is what David did in the Psalms over and over repeatedly, then our healer comes in and heals those emotions for us.
So good. I quoted Kim Fredrickson. She's a licensed therapist. I believe she's passed on since, but I'm going to read this excerpt that she wrote and have you comment on it. You know, she says, we don't have to turn on ourselves when we see our negatives, but that's when we do it. You know, we turn on ourselves. And she says, when we have compassion towards ourselves, we'll be able to tolerate and process our feelings in healthy ways. So I think that's interesting, that self-compassion really does need to precede a healthy process in dealing with this stuff. And she further says, studies show that self-compassion increases resilience and self-worth. It aids in stress reduction, helps us recover from painful experiences. These are key elements of emotional competency. Self-compassion is different from self-esteem. Self-esteem is about assessing yourself in a positive way, which often is in comparison to others and can lead to narcissism, feeling more special than others. Self-compassion, on the other hand, is a gentle way we relate to ourselves when we're struggling. We relate with kindness, caring, empathy, and understanding. She says, new research links self-compassion with better health choices and behaviors. Researchers found that people who eat better, exercise, and have a balance between work and rest do so out of true care for themselves. This is direct contrast to attempting these behaviors out of fear, social pressure, or concerns about being compared to others. Changes that are made out of fear or similar motivators rarely last and are often fueled by anxiety, which makes everything worse. Bad stuff happens, lots of it. Self-compassion helps build resilience, the internal flexibility to rebound and recover from painful, disappointing, and devastating times. Why is this? Because there's a world of difference between going through a difficult time and beating yourself up over and over again and going through that same difficult time while being compassionate and understanding with yourself. What are your thoughts on that?
That is powerful. And the research does prove it. Thank you so much for reading that, because it does reiterate that science proves what God has written that is so true in the Word of God. When we hate ourselves, when we are critical of ourselves, we are actually practicing the presence of the old self, the old man. But when we are self-conscious, when we are compassionate to ourselves, then we are God-conscious, and we are practicing what God has invited us to do, which is to walk in our freedom in Christ, which is to walk in our ability to be a new creation because of him. The old man is gone. The new has come. And then it frees us up to actually move into our purpose using the very things that the enemy tried to derail us on, those old messages, that insecurity, that that thing that perhaps we heard when we were growing up, that thing perhaps we heard from that friend who betrayed us, that things perhaps we heard from a teacher when we were very young that said, we will never, or how dare you, or you're not qualified. But the Lord wants to come into that place, and he says, let me tell you who you are. In Jesus Christ, you are my son. You are my daughter. As a matter of fact, he says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, like that lack of mercy, excuse me, I'm commenting here, but like that lack of mercy that we give to ourselves. But then the scripture goes on to say, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires which war against your very souls. Those desires are the things that have us ruminating in comparison, ruminating in always needing to win. And said the Lord says, humble yourself and then I will lift you up.
So good. What do you say to the person who feels like, and maybe they think their purpose is to serve everybody else, that they don't have time for needs? I mean, we've addressed this in some ways in the past, but sometimes there is a misplaced martyr complex where it, as if it's noble to grind your gears to the point of exhaustion. There's a big difference between that and laying your life down for the sake of Christ. Because I would say every time that God invites us to die to ourselves and live more fully for Him, there's life in it. There's life in the death. There's resurrection in it. There's power. Mm-hmm. There's anointing. But that's so different than personal neglect at the expense, at your own expense. What would you maybe draw that distinction for us?
Well, of course, I think, you know, we are the walking hands and feet of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say, and so I hear that you are a believer. I hear that you have the joy of the Lord and that that is your strength. And then the person might say, well, yes, it absolutely is. And then responding with, well, if you could tell your face, that would be absolutely wonderful. And sometimes we see believers that are the most downcast, down and out people. And Susie, I know that is not true of you. You are a fun friend. And it is part of, you know, let my heart dance, let my feet dance in joy and celebration. And, you know, part of that being able to attend to ourselves and the things that we need is that we need to have down times. We need to have self-care. I need to attend to this temple, which is my physical body, so that I can give to you at a level that's going to nourish you and not deplete me. And what happens when we overserve, when we do it at the expense of ourselves over and over and over again, it becomes a part of a misplaced identity. This is who I am. I serve, I give, I lay down my life for others. And that all sounds really good on the outside, but it is so toxic. And it is so not the will of God for you. Jesus' rhythm to us was His example to us. And He lived with a rhythm of rest. He never ran anywhere. He did what He was invited to do by the Father. And that is obediently. It is not at our expense. It is for God's glory. And that has to be our focus.
Oh, come on. Amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. We're going to pause here for our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about how do these two things, self-compassion and befriending emotions, how do they play into the purpose of God for you in this particular season? We'll talk more with Pamela Nelson about that. She is a counselor. She's a spiritual director, and we're having a great conversation. More with Pamela in a moment. This is a Faith Radio produced podcast. You can find out more about Faith Radio and get some really fun goodies if you sign up for our free welcome pack at myfaithradio.com. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is I could let that song play and play. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Pamela Nelson. We get her on every month. She's a spiritual director and a counselor. Today, we're talking about something very important, self-compassion, befriending emotions, and your purpose, and how important it is to really start to learn to have compassion on yourself. Why? Because God is the God of all compassion. If you follow Jesus in the Gospels, it was His compassion that compelled Him to minister to the needs of people. And when we live by a double standard, when we are kind to others, but not kind to ourselves, when we affirm others, but we berate ourselves, there's something in us that's out of alignment, something in us that needs to be healed. But how does all this play in? Befriending emotions, where we ask ourselves some questions about where is this coming from, and we're patient with ourselves in our messy process. How does that play in, Pamela, to our purpose?
Well, I know you have found this, I definitely have, Susie, is that oftentimes our greatest pain will lead to our divine purpose. It becomes a part of our story, our journey of the Lord coming in and healing, doing the miraculous in us. And we take that testimony because we have been tested, because there has been pain and there has been hurt, but we take it with us everywhere we go, whatever neighborhood that you are in right now. whatever other mom that you are meeting in the waiting lane for your kids, whoever you sit next to at church, whatever cubicle you are next to with someone, you bring your story. And when his story has transformed your story, you have a story to tell. And God is glorified in you allowing all of those emotions, those things, even the painful ones, to be seen, to be named, and then to be healed, so that for his glory, then you can even become a wounded healer for others, that you don't waste a chapter of your story or just try to keep it hidden. It doesn't become the title of your journey. It's not who you are. It's a chapter of your life, but it often becomes a part of the very purpose that you are here. And finding purpose in that pain, again, brings that resilience and brings that life-giving message to others. So I want to encourage you, embrace and search after those emotions, because there may be a key for what that is right now in your season.
You know, Pamela, as much as you feel like sharing, when you look at the times when the enemy went after your destiny, he often does that first by going after identity. What were some of the lies that you believed in those places, and how did truth emerge for you to dare to believe that God would have you do what you're even doing right now?
Yes. Well, I will tell you, the journey for me has had a lot of twists and turns. What he's bringing to my mind right now is that I want to encourage those of you that have had maybe a lot of different physical moves, or just moves in where he has assigned you. I feel like the call of God in my life has always been the same, but he has called me to different places. Susie, I don't know if you knew this, but I just made move number 24.
What? And, I did not know.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. And that is a lot. And with every one of those things, of course, you make relationships, but there are certain relationships that you leave behind, and you wonder, Lord, it is curious to me, how in this season that you are bringing me, to this place. And I can only be grateful that he doesn't waste any single season. But I will tell you that if there were chapters of my life that I wanted to ignore or wanted to close off or hide in shame, I would not be able to do what I am doing now. It is part of those stories of the insecurity that I struggled with as a young person. Perhaps this was you. Susie, I was the tallest person in my sixth grade class by several inches. And I felt so out of place, square peg, round hole. And I remember then, interestingly, God's bringing to mind, I was doing a Beth Moore study, and we were doing fruit of the Spirit. And the question was, where is God's fruit for you out at the end of the vine? And what flower might you be? And so we were talking about gardening and fruits and flowers, and I was praying, Lord, what does that look like for me? And it actually meant another move. Where is that fruit going to be? And it's going to be serving in a different place. Lord, do I actually want to be out at the end of the limb again with you? Well, he had proven himself trustworthy to me in so many places, Susie. So yes, I absolutely wanted to be out at the end of the limb with him. And then as I contemplated, Lord, how did you create me? How did you make me? How are you not wasting any part of this season? And again, in kind of that feeling out of place, insecurity place, we probably have about a foot difference between you and me when it comes to actually when we stand next to each other. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, and I wasn't very happy about it at the time, Pamela, you are the sunflower of the garden. I'm like, of course I am. Of course I am, And I went back to my prayer group, and everyone's naming the lovely little flowers that are in the garden. And I'm like, I'm the sunflower, big orange tall one, And one of the women who is a gardener looked at me and she said, Pamela, the sunflower always turns its face to the sun. And when the sun is going down, it turns its face to one another so that it can get its energy from one another. Mm. I would not at all be ashamed that that is the flower that the Lord is calling you. And that completely redefined so many things for me, Susie. And I believe that there are messages like that right now, whether it has to do with your physical stature, that's maybe not what it was years ago. 57 looks very different than 17, you know, in this season for me, but I wouldn't change a thing. I am now a grandma with a granddaughter in my life who I want her to stand tall into her purpose, not ever wondering if she doesn't fit. And I have wrestled this down. I wrestled down those emotions of insecurity to be able to tell her, no, granddaughter, you stand tall. You turn your face to the sun. Because when anyone has a question of why is this happening, who might have compassionate answers for me? I do know that they remember the tall one standing over there that just might pray and hear for them and understand what they are walking through. So Susie, he truly doesn't waste any season.
So great. And even your question, who might have compassion on me? I was thinking, even if there is this duplicity within us where we're nice or kind to others, but brutal to ourselves, I would say the kind of compassion you're talking about that heals, you literally can't impart that if you don't possess it. You know, if you're not letting in the compassion of Christ into your story, how can you be a conduit to healing in another person's story? And compassion needs to make a comeback. Oh, Lord. Compassion needs to make a comeback, because we're so quick to aim, so quick to shoot each other. We've just so lost sight of compassion. And wow, that's just really beautiful. And I just love the way that you're imparting that now to your granddaughter. What do you say to that person who's listening to Dave? She's got a few minutes left, who is realizing as they're listening to you, Pamela, that they need to flip the script. They've been living with a script that's hemming them in and diminishing them. And they're not free. They're not expected. They're not joyful. They're not in awe and wonder going, look what God has done. They've been stuck in the smallness of this narrative. How do they start by establishing a redemptive narrative?
I'd love to leave them with a couple scriptures. Ephesians 4:31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So friend, in this season, if this has been the language you've been speaking over yourself, we often think of this verse in regards to how we speak to others, and we need to. But what will come out of our heart for ourselves will come out. It will spill out to others. It will come out sideways. And so we first need to get rid of that bitterness and rage and anger, harsh words and slander in ourselves. Be tender-hearted. We need to forgive ourselves or receive God's forgiveness for us, that he separates what we have done as far as the east is from the west, but who we are in him is our identity. And then in James 3:14-16, in the Message, it says, and this is where we get to purpose, because we often are wondering if we fit, am I qualified? Here's what James says. Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. So our talking to ourselves then acts out in how we live. So not just what we're saying that sounds sweet to someone else, but our talking to ourselves that changes the way we live, and then we will be counted wise. Speaking tender-hearted, forgiving ourselves and others, because God in Christ has forgiven us. And what greater purpose, but to be able to impart that, because we've not just been informed, but transformed in our life. That spills out that kindness and compassion to others. And so friend, speak kindly to yourself today, for the Lord loves you with an everlasting love, and he draws you with loving kindness.
Hallelujah and amen. What a perfect place to end. Pamela, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. And friends, thank you for tuning in today. I pray that you'll practice some self-compassion and that you'll continue to follow your precious Savior closely. Stay on his heels. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show again.